connecting to what the Spirit was saying. Is there something inside of you that's providing somewhat of a barrier between you and the God who loves you so much and wants to bless you? If so, will you surrender that? Will you give it up? Because just like Linda was talking about, it's when we surrender that we can experience freedom. And freedom is what we want, especially today. Lord, you are in this place, and so are we. We're together. And God, we were together before we ever came here because you're at all places. But Lord, there are things that occupy our minds, our thoughts, our conversations, that prevent not you from being fully present, but us from being fully present in the midst of what you desire to say and do and provide for us at any given point. And so, Lord, right now, at this point in time, I just pray that for everyone who's open, that those things just be taken away. And that we're able to truly worship you, that we acknowledge you for who you are, the freedom that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture today, if you want to get your Bibles out, it's listed in your bulletin as well, but I encourage you to take your Bibles out and read them along with me if you choose. Comes from Galatians chapter 5. I'll be reading verse 1 and then skipping down to verse 13 and reading verses 13 through 18. But before that, while you're looking that up, I have a true or false question for you. True or false? Freedom carries with it responsibility. Is that true or false? Freedom carries with it responsibility. Your answer is correct. And we hear that. You've probably heard that question before. You've probably heard that statement. But what does it mean for you? What does that mean for you in terms of this weekend, July 4th weekend, to say our freedom, to have freedom requires responsibility? What does that look like for America on Independence Weekend? I want to make some suggestions. I believe it means that we are to remember and honor those who fought and continue to fight for us to have the freedom that we do. Secondly, I think it's important that we celebrate. And I think when we celebrate, it's not just maybe a day off or not just a time that we get together and people get together, not just a time to do fireworks, but it's a time of remembering why. I don't know about you. I appreciate the opening that you had, Linda, as we look at that, it stirs something inside of us as we remember who we are as a country, and we need that to happen as a regular basis. That's a part of our responsibility for that freedom. That freedom isn't something that just happened and we do it and then we just blow it off. To continue to honor those, we need to remember on a regular basis, and I believe that's why once a year, at least, we celebrate Independence Day. Then another one. This one might be a little sticky at times, but I also believe it's a responsibility. I believe we have a responsibility to defend our freedom. Now, I don't necessarily care for fighting when fighting's not necessary, and I'm very much a proponent of peace. But that shouldn't come at the cost of our freedom that has been fought so hard for. So there are times that we must stand for what's important to us. And there are times we as a country must stand for our freedom and stand for what's right. And that's not always easy. Then the last thing I want to share in terms of freedom carries responsibility, I believe we need to live according to that freedom with both passion and respect. So what does it mean to live as though you have freedom, and to live it passionately and to live it with respect. I'm not here to preach that sermon today, but I hope you'll think about that question. And then it's going to lead into what I'd like to us to share next. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1 and then skipping to verse 13. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. One of the things I want us to understand today is that freedom in Christ, what we're talking about today, truly leads to Christian service. We're continuing to talk about the theme of service. So I want to ask some questions. The first question is, are you free? Obviously, we live in America. Freedom is something we talk about. What, are you free? But then, I don't want to talk about just in terms of our patriotism or just in terms of freedom from another country, just in terms of freedom of our rights according to the Constitution. I want to talk biblically. Verse 5, chapter 1 of Galatians says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." So are you free in this way? What did Christ free us from? What did he free us from? Somebody said it, I heard it. Sin. He freed us from sin, yet there are times we still seem to live there. Sin is not something you can simply defeat on your own, and sometimes we try to do that, and I've said this before, there are some people that for some reason they're so much a person that lives in control of their own lives that they try really hard to defeat the sin in their lives by themselves. There are people that I believe read their Bible regularly. I believe they come to church. I believe they serve on committees, and I honestly believe they're trying so hard to do what they're supposed to fight that sin. And they keep falling short and they keep getting frustrated. And even though they know it, and they know that they're supposed to depend on God, and it has to be an acknowledgement that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and in some sense they've done that, they really aren't giving their lives to Christ. And it reminds me of something that I understood, I came to understand more, and I'm sure that many of you probably already know it. But I realized in preparing for this that one of George Washington's greatest strategies in the Revolutionary War had nothing to do with fighting another country. It was vaccinating his soldiers against smallpox. I didn't even realize that. And he did it in face of opposition. There were some people at that time that actually feared that this vaccination could cause more soldiers to die than it would save their lives. But Washington knew from previous experience and conflicts he had had prior to the Revolutionary War that he called this another enemy of his soldiers. And recently, historians have gone back and studied and said that that this may have been as much of an impact, what George Washington did in insisting that his soldiers receive a smallpox vaccine may have done more to dictate the result of the Revolutionary War as anything else that he did. So you see, George Washington and those soldiers could have been so much about going in to fight the battle and the soldiers they could see and taking care of them and doing it with all their might and ability, yet George Washington realized there was something they couldn't see that needed to be addressed. And the same is true in terms of spiritual freedom. We can't do it ourselves. We need God, and Satan is real, and we can recognize some of the things that Satan throws at us, but Satan is conniving. Satan places things in our lives that don't look evil, but are able to pull us away from God. We can't do it by ourselves. Christ provided that freedom by dying on the cross. He died on the cross many years ago, but because of who God is and because of who Christ is, he knew when he died on the cross at that point, he was dying for Robert Saunders. He was dying for Linda Ray. He was dying for Brenda Hall. He was dying for Greg McCormick. He was dying for every person, Davion Rose, every person here, every person in Virginia, every person in the United States, every person in the world, every person who has lived, every person who will live. That's what Jesus Christ did. And we can't fathom what that sacrifice was like. It was painful, yes, but more than that, he allowed himself, because of our sin, to be completely separated from the Father. That was the sacrifice that was given. Now, let me ask you another question. You understand the freedom. We've talked about that. Have you accepted the freedom? Let me give you another scenario. Suppose a year after the Revolutionary War and it had been won, you had people in America saying, you know, I don't really care that much about that freedom. That's all right. We'll go ahead and live like the Brits want us to. I'll go ahead and keep paying my taxes. You know, that religious freedom isn't that big of a deal anyway. That just sounds ludicrous. Because this country, people had given their lives, they had invested in this. And they did it with reason and purpose that could change their lives. And not only their lives, but their children and their grandchildren and generations to come, including us. I don't know that anyone just thought to throw that away and say it was meaningless. Yet there are times that that's the very thing we do. Jesus Christ paid the price for our freedom on the cross. And for us to say, you know, I don't really need that. I got things under control. I can live it. I can take care of it. I can do the church thing. I can be okay. But not taking seriously what Jesus Christ did is like not accepting the gift of freedom that's been given to us. But just for the sake of argument, we're going to assume that we have accepted that freedom. So this takes us to the next question. How do you use your freedom? And if you look at the scripture again, verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. We are to use our freedom not by providing just for ourselves, but for serving each other. And one of the things I've been talking about, and I want to insert this here because it's important, and all too often a lot of pastors, myself included, kind of skim by this. I want to say that I believe church is a place to model this, enabling others to be a part of recognizing what freedom is and what it means to serve and to put into practice what we're supposed to do in serving and then take that out into the world. Now, I'm not saying that we're not supposed to serve. We are. We're supposed to serve in the world. That's what God's called us to do. But sometimes we focus so much on that that we forget that we as a church are supposed to be a role model of that. There are people out in the world who they're interested in serving. They do serve, but they don't understand necessarily how that connects to the freedom that we've been given in Christ. So when we serve in those situations, it's very easy for it to become more about us or about what we can get than it is about who God is. So we as a church, I believe, are supposed to model, and sometimes churches mess this up. But we as a church, we as Woodland, should be serious about modeling what it means to serve each other and invite others to come in to serve them, enable them to do the same thing, and get an idea of what that truly looks like in the Christian sense of service so that we can truly take that out and know what it is and know that service isn't something that comes with conditions when you attach Jesus Christ's name to it. If you look in your bulletins, there's and I don't always do this, but this one really connects this time. It's a little insert. And we have these once a month. And basically the reason we have these in here is because we're a part of the Baptist General Association of Virginia. We get funding there. We're involved in different ways. We have relationships. They provide resources. But this is one of the things that the Baptist General Association of Virginia does and does well. It's an opportunity for college students to serve. And I just want you to take a quick look. It says at the top, summer, a time for college students to engage in ministry. And just looking down below where it says ventures, it lists some names, and I'm just going to make a statement about each one. Alma Vela and Sarah Phillips are serving with the Lebanese Society for Education and Social Development in Beirut. So that's one. Drew Dellinger is serving in Vienna, Austria, with a church planner who the BGAV leaders meet through a partnership with European Baptist Federation. Lindsay Hughes is serving in Yendi, Uganda, in support of More Than Nets, which we've had Moose here and been a part of that and given money to. Hannah Strout and Kristen Marker are serving with the Southwest Virginia Partnership in Nicholsville. Southwest Virginia struggles in many ways. So they're doing that. And then on the back, Impact Mission Camps. These are camps that youth can go to, and they're college students who give their summer to be able to serve at those places helping youth. And the names are listed there. But then in addition to that, I think this is so cool. In addition, Frederick Asen and Amelie Lund, who I said their names, nothing like probably what it should be, two students from Norway are serving at the Impact Virginia sites. There are people from Norway, because of what BGAV is doing, students that are having that opportunity. This is opportunity to serve and model that as a church. I don't know. I think I saw your eyes raise up when you saw something. Was there a connection there? So, you see, it's a smaller world than you think. And I imagine if Annie knows them, you're going to get a chance to talk to them when they get back. And probably be impacted in her own way, however those friends choose to share. As part of Virginia Baptist, I can tell you, because I've actually in previous years been on the committee when different ones from different schools came in and applied for these positions, and we interviewed them. I've been a part of that interview process. Basically, any person in the state of Virginia that goes to almost any educational institution that wants to be a part of doing something like this can, because we're a part of a group that understands the importance of serving. We've been set free, but we've also been set free to serve. I shared a little bit just in the prayer request about a youth I had who had recently taken their life, and it was hard for me this week. I struggled. And I want to say it was an example where God took care of me. We talk about this a lot. God sent me an angel this week. And I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't looking for it, and I didn't even know who he was until after I'd been talking to him for some time. The angel's name was Garland. And Garland, he doesn't know he was my angel this week. But just because of conversations, just because of who he was, because of some of the experiences that he had had that were connected to mine, even though he doesn't, still to this day, doesn't know what my experience was, God used him. And I wanted you to know that, to just to know that God works in that way. But how it's more relevant to you is that the message that I had already planned, the message hopefully that God had planned that I'm sharing today, God gave me an example of what it means to be a servant who's been set free to serve right in front of me the weekend that I was going to preach the message. And it's awesome. Let me just tell you a little bit about him. Garland is a successful entrepreneur. He has multiple businesses that have done very well and invested, and he never has really talked about how much money he has, but just it's obvious that he has done pretty well after you talk to him for a while. But it would be hard to know that, because every time I've seen Garland, he's been wearing a tie-dye t-shirt. And honestly, I sometimes wonder if it's the same t-shirt. And it's ragged. You know how the collars, after you wear them for a while, they get worn and ragged? That's what Garland's t-shirt's like. And he's got a ponytail. And place I've seen him most is riding around on a golf cart. And when you see him, he just seems to be happy. He's able to serve others with joy. He's not a slave to money, because, see, Garland is actually the owner and director of a campground resort in Stewart Straft that I got to go to this weekend. And just because we stood there and talked for a while, and he shared with me some things about death and some things he had been involved with and didn't even know where that was going. Eventually, I came to understand it. Don't even know why he shared it. He didn't necessarily know why he shared it. Probably, I think I understand it was because it was today. He talked about it. He said, "Greg, you know, people put too much importance on money," and he went into a bunch of stories I don't need to share now that he's experienced in the campground, how he wishes people had joy in a different way. And I talked to him. The thing I brought up is I said, "Garland, your hospitality at this place is head and shoulders above any place I've ever been, bar none." And it's just that he said, "Well, that's the most important thing to us." And he made a comment. He said, "Greg, if somebody called here and wanted to come camping, and for some reason I found out they didn't have the money to, in a heartbeat, I'd tell them, come spend the weekend on us." That's the type of person he is. And he said that, "You know, I've taken care of my family. And when I'm not around anymore, I know that they're already taken care of. But whatever money we have left, we've already set up this trust fund with the Veterans of Foreign Affairs to take care of people in this community, whatever needs they may be." And it was interesting. I was expecting to hear, "Well, this is just something that I'm able to do to take care of other people," but that wasn't at all where he went. He said, "You know, I need to give back to these people who are given to me. I need to give back to you. I need to give back to all these people that are here because they make my life so amazing." You realize this is director of a campground on 4th of July weekend, and he's talking about all the people there and how great they are and how much they're giving to him. What do you think your life would be like on 4th of July weekend if you owned a campground resort? For me, I would think I'd be pulling my hair out. And you know, he's talking to us. In the middle of that, he gets a thing on his walkie-talkie, and a water line has burst. come to find out that water line was 48 inches underground for some reason. I don't know why. And he took care of that, came back, had a conversation later, the entire time having a smile on his face. He's going around, and yes, he's on a golf cart, and one of my boys said, "You know, Dad, he's got the life. All he has to do is ride around on his golf cart all the time. It looks like it's a lot of fun." You know what that said to me? It said a lot about who he was, because he was actually working like crazy, taking care of people all over that campsite, but he did it in such a way that my 9 and 10-year-old thought it looked awesome. And it was genuine. It was where joy was coming from. That's what service is supposed to be like. That's what we as Christians are supposed to be like. We don't do it for others because we owe it to them. We don't do it for others so we can impress somebody. We do it because God has called us to. And when we do that in that way, it blesses us and it draws others in that way. And they will look at us and say, "I want a life like that." And we can look right back at them and say, "You can have it. Let me tell you about it." It's contagious. We are set free to serve. That's the title. This is the big point that I want to make. We're set free from sin. We don't have to live under the burden. We don't have to live under the things the world tries to place on us. We have to remember that. We have to claim that, just like the song that the praise team had. We have to surrender to God every day so we don't fall under those pressures and those things that keep us in bondage. We are set free. The scripture says, if we go back in verse 14, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." You're to love your neighbor as yourself. First of all, you have to recognize your value in Christ. It's important that you know that, because we put our value in a lot of other things, and I preached that sermon. I'm not going there again. But then beyond that, as you recognize you love and care for yourself because of who Christ is and what Christ has done for you, then you're to love your neighbor as yourself. You don't get to choose who your neighbor is. And by your neighbor, it doesn't just mean the person that's next door to you. Your neighbor are the people that you meet every day, and you may meet them on the telephone, and they may be from Timbuktu somewhere. But we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, and if we have a business, if we're buying groceries, our lives shouldn't just be about business exchanges. Our lives shouldn't just be about getting things done. Those people that we meet are our neighbors, and we are to love them, and we're to show that every single day. That's what serving is about. And it's not conditional. We don't get to serve people that look like us. We don't get to serve people that just talk the same language as us. I don't know what was going on, but I'm going to mention it, because I think Caleb was sitting over here, and I think you came over and had a conversation with Caleb just a little bit. And I asked Caleb what it was. He said, he was talking to me about sign language. I said, "Why is he talking to you about sign language?" He said, "I don't know. I think he thinks sign language is pretty cool." You know, I don't know what's going on between them, but I like it. Because there's something beyond just us thinking about ourselves. And my son, I don't know that he has a clue where you're going to go with that yet. But it spurred him a little bit to think about sign language a little bit too. But I don't know how many of you in here may know sign language, but I can tell you, if you do and you see somebody that is signing, and even if you just know a little bit, if you go up and try to communicate with them, it is phenomenal. Once they start doing all this, you say, "Wait a minute, I just know this much." Because they so yearn to be able to talk in their own language. That's love. That's serving. I have a question, though. Why is it that it often takes a tragedy to really bring us together with our neighbors, to really be genuine? Think about our neighbors in West Virginia. Why is it that we really just open up our hearts and are wanting to help them with struggles? Because, you know, they had a lot of struggles before all those floods came. And some of us knew about that. But we need to recognize that this is a daily call that God places on us. So how is that supposed to happen? It doesn't happen the way it should because of the last part of the scripture that we had today. And I'll go back to that. It says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh." Flesh desires something different than the Spirit, and if we don't continually go to God, and it's a daily thing, it's a daily commitment, it's daily surrender. Linda kind of said that you may not think at first surrender goes along with freedom. You can't have the freedom like we're talking about today if there's not surrender. And I believe it has to be daily surrender. And we must live according to the freedom we've been given in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the praise team to go ahead and come up. And as they do, I want to remind you of what I talked about at the beginning, that as we talked about Independence Day, and that's something that we want to live into the way we should this weekend. We talked about the fact that we're to honor, celebrate, defend, and live according to that freedom. What does it look like to do that with our freedom in Christ? What does it look like to honor our freedom in Christ? What does it mean to recognize Jesus and what He's done? What does it mean to celebrate our freedom in Christ? How do we do that? One of the ways we do that is coming and celebrating it together on Sunday morning by worshiping God. What would we have done if, and let me give you an example. This weekend, we had an opportunity, and while we were there celebrating a couple of days, we were at this campground. And by the way, this campground where Garland is, I almost forgot to tell you this, and this is really awesome. This is the same campground that our youth are going to in 3 weeks. And Garland's the director. That is so awesome to me. But they honored the veterans that were there. A bunch of people out around in a pool laughing, carrying on, have a good time. Over the loudspeaker, they said, "Just for a few minutes during this time, we want to pause and honor those people who enable us to have the freedom today." And they displayed flags, and they sang the Star Spangled Banner. And people honored and celebrated. And you could just feel it. Do we do that in honor and celebrating who Christ is in our life? Do we defend the freedoms that Jesus Christ has given to us, or do we just let them go on by? And do we live into this freedom with passion and respect? Those are the questions that I leave you with as I challenge you to recognize that you've been set free to serve. Lord, I just ask that you will continue to help us to see what you desire us to see, to be who you've desired us to be. We thank you for freedom. Just help us to embrace it in a way that we live it to the fullest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand?